So then we had to get like these 3/4-inch thick rug pads then to put under the rugs themselves to like, you know, catch sound and like make us not step so loud.
Wow. You and Matt.
Yeah.
Wow.
In the apartment.
3/4-inch, huh?
Yeah, they're real. They're kind of cushy though. Too.
Wow. I didn't.
Listen, friends, do not talk small talk. They talk fantasy. And you can sign up right now, NFL.com/fantasy. A little small talk there. Actually, that's a true conversation.
That is a true conversation.
Between the Wiz Kid, Alex Gilhar, and Matt Harmon.
We did have to get rug pads for our apartment. we're living that fantasy bro life right now. But our downstairs neighbors, we had just moved in, have a newborn baby. And apparently, like, I don't know, we're just like lumbering around up there day and night, stomping around. So we had to get all these rug pads and put them in.
You know, that's interesting because, you know, when I had a newborn, I was living in an apartment. I was actually more worried about my neighbors than my neighbors interrupting us because...
Oh, you with the baby crying?
Right, exactly. And it's all hours, too. It's like 2 a.m., 4, it doesn't matter. The baby was crying all... So that's interesting that the...
I think for we've got the opposite thing.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I think for Christmas I'm going to buy you guys a set of kitten mittens.
Those would be perfect, actually.
Yeah. By the way, you're listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. Alex Gilhar, the Wiz Kid from Wisconsin, back there. Just had to catch a fly real quick. I'm James Cohen, the host of the show. We had MG Marcus Grant in the house as well. Introducing, how about this, Matt Harmon, writer and / garbage content producer. That's his official title. Matt Harmon, writer and garbage content producer for NFL.com. Big Matt, what's up?
Not much. I'm excited to bring my garbage from on here to the airwaves. Looking forward to the vanity URL whenever we can make that happen, NFL.com/garbage.
It tells me that's not going to make it.
Yeah, it may not.
One can dream.
Yes.
Matt Harmon, if you guys don't know, very interesting NFL writer because he really focuses in on wide receivers. I mean, that is his area of expertise. He's got this thing. Why don't you explain? It's this reception perception or something along those lines.
Yeah, there you go. You got it. Reception perception. Yeah, it's an in-depth methodology I created for evaluating wide receiver play. None of it's currently on NFL.com right now, but you can find it through my Twitter page and on my website. But, yeah, it's basically just an in-depth, full perception view of wide receivers, and it's fun. It's a fun process for me, and people seem to like it too.
Mind you, you have to sift through pictures of his dog to get to the reception stuff.
I was going to say, this is weird for me being on a podcast in a professional studio. Usually I have my dog with me, like reading stats and everything, but
I
can do it.
Yeah, so look for Matt Harmon, reception perception. Just Google it. You could find it. It's very interesting stuff, and I mean, it is hyper-focused on wide receiver. So if you are, I mean, if you want to get deep into this fantasy stuff, I definitely recommend it. It's a great read. And of course, he's got a lot of great stuff on NFL.com/fantasy right now. And again, remember, you can sign up right now, NFL.com/fantasy. We got the great draft kit.
Yep, finally got it up to date last week, so James is not going to get angry pictures of people.
Oh, like, I still will.
About something different.
People will find it. That's the amazing thing on the internet. People will find anything. There are people, like, when we first publish an article before we even have a chance to, like, read it and send it out to the masses, there are already people consuming that content. Like,
it's amazing.
Yelling at us in the contents and stuff. Comments. So.
It is absolutely. NFL.com/draft kit if you want to get all that great information. It's a top 10 list of busts, breakouts, sleepers, deep sleepers, and bargain picks as well. And there's a full explanation as to all these top 10 lists and all that kind of good stuff. So there you go, NFL.com/draft kit. Listen, we got a huge show in front of us here. We're going to get to the top headlines, of course, but we're going to talk about our top Week 3 preseason fantasy headlines as well. We're going to focus in on the Raiders. We're going to talk about the Eagles. And how about a little Dallas Cowboys chat, and specifically Terrence Williams. Then we're going to get to some of your mailbag questions, and then, of course, daily daps as well. Matt Harmon, I hope you got some daily daps, man.
I forgot I had to have one, but I've got one now.
So oh,
I've
just
got
like that.
A pretty good one. Yeah.
Okay, rolling, there you go. With it. I like it. All right, let's get to the top headline, shall we?
Let's do it.
The camera highlights in the world of sports.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Breaking news.
Whistles go. Woo!
I like turtles.
We continue to follow breaking news.
Watch the news because I'm a kid.
So y'all need to hide your kids, hide your wife.
I also like turtles. Alshon Jeffrey continues to be a no-show at Bears practices. Jeffrey was seen in a walking boot and crutches about 2.5 weeks ago. He's been listed as, quote, day-to-day ever since. When asked about Jeffrey's availability and conditioning for week one, John Fox very grumpily said, quote, "It's not like he's sitting there eating bonbons. He's conditioning." End of quote. Conditioning what? I'm not sure. His hair, maybe? His leg? We're very confused as to what Alshon Jeffrey is doing. And maybe we start with the man known for his wide receiver analysis, Matt Harmon. Alshon Jeffrey, how much do the reports of him not practicing concern you?
Well, this has been weird. The whole thing has always kind of been shrouded in mystery with this injury, and that's usually how John Fox does things anyways. I follow the Panthers pretty heavily, so I'm kind of used to this throughout the year.
Is that your team?
It's a complicated relationship.
They're off and on.
Yeah, I'd prefer, like, I'll call her every once in a while, like, if it's late at night, but no, it's like, I don't want to be associated with them in any way.
Got it.
Mid-series Ross and Rachel right now. Yeah. Like, had a lot of spats.
That's a pretty good way to describe it. No, but as far as Jeffrey's concerned, yeah, I was putting together like a daily fantasy spreadsheet today, and he's a guy that I'm probably not going to want to play early in the season until I get a little more clarity on this. And they don't really have anybody else in the offense that really intrigues me much either. You know, obviously Eddie Royal's probably the number two there.
But they're also all hurt.
Yeah,
Royal's got a
too.
Hip. Marcus Wilson has a knee.
A hamstring.
Hamstring, right.
That's a game I was looking at, especially the Bears and the Packers in week one, and the Bears are just going to get trounced.
Oh, they're going to get steamrolled.
I mean, their defense is already bad, and now with all these injuries on offense, the Packers are going to roll house.
Man, if you're playing daily fantasy, I know Aaron Rodgers is going to come at a very steep price, but it might just be worth it, man.
I totally agree.
I mean, I think the Bears are just going to get destroyed in week one. And you're right. Aaron Rodgers might be a little bit angry there. MG, your take on Alshon Jeffrey. It's got to move him down a little bit, no?
It does. I mean, you know, I still think he is a guy you can probably get, say, late second round, early third round, and I think he still has wide receiver two potential. I sort of laugh at John Fox. You talk about him kind of being prickly and bristly about this whole thing. Let's keep in mind that the Bears kind of, you know, dilly-dallied with Kevin White saying, oh, he's day-to-day, he's going to be back soon.
Same narrative.
You know, like, he's going to be back soon, everything's going to be fine. I think they did that with Ryan Mundy on the defensive side. Hey, he's going to be fine, everything's day-to-day. Then he's put on IR and gone for the season. So John Fox doesn't really have the right to bristle when people ask him about injuries like this, because you've already misled us at least twice on these sorts of things.
He's
so,
taking a page out of the Bill Belichick's
coaching.
Yeah,
so you have to understand that people are going to be a little bit suspicious of you right now.
it definitely worries me because of what you just mentioned, Marcus. The Kevin White situation, man. I mean, day-to-day, he's not going to play for the next 10 weeks, but he's day-to-day. Just so you guys know.
Aren't we all?
I don't know about that. I guess, Alex, I'll ask you this. How concerned are you about the injury or non-injury or whatever it is?
I'm concerned enough where I actually, having done like six drafts in the last 5 days, haven't taken him once. There have been a lot of times where I've looked at him and I'm like, man, I kind of like this value. But then I'm like, well, I don't know what's going on with the injury. So I opt for, another running back, a Lamar Miller, or I take A.J. Green or DeAndre Hopkins or something instead.
Do we even know what injury he has?
He's a calf injury.
It's a calf, but why is he in a walking boot?
That's not a good sign.
From the beginning, it's been very unclear. They called it a calf, but yeah, he was in the walking boot like right after that first or second preseason game.
I'm worried. I'm really worried that it might be something like a plantar fascia.
Would be bad.
That would be really bad.
Can you imagine? Because here's the thing about the plantar fascia. It doesn't necessarily knock you out of games, but
it doesn't get better.
It doesn't get better, and it certainly inhibits you from being productive. We saw the same ailment impact a guy like Andre Ellington last year, and also a guy like Calvin Johnson, I believe, had a plantar fascia problem for much of the season. And it's one of those things where every single week you're wondering, do I play this guy or not?
So hopefully it's not that. I don't think there's like it's necessary for people to push the panic button. I got asked on Twitter, should I trade Alshon? I'm like, whoa, like settle down. This could be nothing. Yeah. He could just be hot tubbing it, get ice baths, getting it ready. It could be more serious. We just need to everybody needs to take a chill pill and wait until we get more info before making any rash decisions.
If healthy, given the fact that Brandon Marshall no longer there, Alshon Jeffrey, I mean, absolutely could be a top 10 wide receiver, if not higher. He's got that kind of talent, that size. And the fact of the matter is, Jay Cutler, not a great real life quarterback, but for fantasy purposes, he'll force feed it into Alshon Jeffrey. So you got to like the opportunity. You got to like the skill set. It's just that injury looming large. All right, we move on. NFL Media Insider Ian Rappaport reported earlier this afternoon that Julius Thomas got his second opinion and has decided to have surgery, and he's going to have surgery tomorrow. That, according to a source, that would put him out for about a month. It's believed that Thomas is repairing a torn tendon in his finger. General manager Dave Caldwell told the Florida Times Union that Thomas would still be a 50-50 proposition for week one. By the way, week one is like 10 days out. If he's supposed to miss a month, I don't know how a guy is going to be 50-50 10 days out. Makes no sense whatsoever.
Smokescreen.
But whatever, we'll move on. Hearing about this, we knew that it was probably going to happen, but now it's official. He's going to be out, you know, anywhere between 4 to 5 weeks. Maybe shorter, I don't know. I mean, Dave Caldwell, the GM, is making it sound like it's certainly going to be shorter. Alex Gelhar, I'll ask you, where does this move Julius Thomas? I know you weren't super high on him anyways.
I had come around on him, but now that he's going to be out for 4 weeks, I pushed him down into the tight end two range because that's a long – well, he might come back in week four, but that's a long amount of time to not have a guy like that, and especially when there are other high upside players that are going to be around the whole time, like the Kyle Rudolphs, Jordan Camerons, Tyler Eifers of the world. I would much rather take all of them than Thomas. It's sad because if you remember on Friday, we were sitting here gloating about how great of a pick it was for Adam Rank to take him in like
the ninth round,
but now Rank's going to be without a tight end for the first several weeks of the season, so he's going to have to fix it.
Question. So we said great value in round nine. I guess the question becomes, where do you take him now?
I don't.
Still round nine? Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't big on him anyway. Now I'm definitely not going to deal with him at this point. I mean, I guess if
he's on your
really
do not draft list.
If you really want Julius Thomas, I mean, you can wait till the double-digit rounds now to pick this guy up. I mean, if he's going to be out for a month, you're looking at, what, week two, week three before you even get anything from him now?
If then.
Right. And I just had questions about – I know people say, you know, he's an athletic guy, and it's not necessarily that Peyton Manning made him who he was, but Peyton Manning helped him quite a bit.
No doubt.
And I think, yeah, you hear stories about maybe work ethic, and just you just kind of wonder whether or not he's the kind of guy that is going to succeed with Blake Bortles as much as he did with the Denver Bronco offense.
Matt Harmon?
Yeah, I kind of liked Thomas as a discount, like tight end eight before this news came out, but now I'm probably with Marcus more so than I would be taking him at all. I might just completely avoid him because the tight end position is so ambiguous the way it's scoring anyways. Guys are up and down week to week. You can stream the position pretty easily. I might just completely avoid Thomas at this point and, you know, maybe go for a guy like Kyle Rudolph later, Tyler Eifert, Alex mentioned. I'd rather have those guys at this point because I have more clarity on what I know what I'm going to get. And there are several guys in the draft like that I'm just not going to touch until I know for sure when I'm going to get something from them and what I'm going to get. And I don't think we have an answer for Thomas with that at
all.
I'll
say that, I guess, of the four of us, I'm the most high on Julius Thomas. And I have been, really, because, you know, again, I think about opportunity and workload and all that kind of good stuff. And you know, the fact of the matter is I just don't see that many. I know Allen Robinson is a high upside guy there in Duval, but Julius Thomas for a young quarterback, and that's what Blake Bortles is, second-year quarterback, a young quarterback, it should be a tremendous safety blanket, a good athlete, good hands. Marcus, you hit it right on the head, though, man. The work ethic has always – I don't want to say the work ethic. It's not that the work ethic has been a question mark. It's his desire to get out there even if he's not 100%. We saw that last year. He had, you know, ailments that were impeding him, and he wasn't rushing to get out there. Part of that could be the fact that he was in a contract year and he wanted to stay healthy. Part of that could just be, and this is what we've heard the whispers and the rumors, that he's just not one of those guys that is like a Steve Smith. It doesn't matter. I'm getting out there. You know, broken hand, what? It doesn't matter. Take me up, get me out there. He's not one of those guys.
Well, just in general, even if he's not going to get out there when he's hurt, the reality is that he gets dinged up a lot. I mean, he got dinged up last year in Denver.
Sure.
He had to spend his whole rookie year rehabbing an injury that pretty much slowed his development until Peyton Manning arrived. So, yeah, this is a guy that he gets dinged up a lot. He's dinged up now. I just don't know what you're going to get from him when he gets back.
I get, you know, and the thing, too, is, of course, it's hard to roster two tight ends. I get it. But, you know, if you
shouldn't
can,
roster two
if
tight ends.
If you could get – I still think if you can get him in the 11th round, it's not a bad value. And certainly there's some upside to be had there. You know, if you're – of course you're going to be waiting on the guy. I get it. And that's hard to do. I could see both sides of the argument. But for me, if I'm sitting there in round 11, round 10, I'm going to take a flyer on Julius Thomas. I'll do it, and I'll do it with confidence. All right, Tyrod Taylor named the week one starter for the Buffalo Bills. I see a little fist pumping from the garbage content producer, Matt Harmon. He's beating out first-round pick E.J. Manuel, veteran Matt Castle. Here's some info on Tyrod Taylor, because I know a lot of you folks don't know about him. He's a fifth-year player out of Virginia Tech, and when he starts week one, it's going to be his first ever start in the NFL. He is a legit athlete. He ran a 4.5 40. He's got a 38-inch vertical. Accuracy and footwork has always been a problem with Tyrod. But if he's figured that out, man, he's become a very interesting player because of his rushing ability. Listen, in the preseason, he's ran for 108 yards. That leads the team. If you want to talk about accuracy, how about this? Over 3 weeks, 24 of 31 passing in the preseason. 77%. We're talking about a guy in college who has never thrown for over, I don't think he even got to 60% in college. He never got to 60%. He's shooting 77% right now in the preseason. And I get it. It's the preseason. But, man, it's very possible that over the 4 years in the NFL, he's worked with some good quarterback coaches. Maybe he's figured this whole thing out.
Leaving the station.
Oh.
It's leaving the station.
And I'll say this, man. You know, for the price, we're seeing him go undrafted in
almost
all leagues. You're telling me you wouldn't spend a 15th round draft pick as a backup quarterback?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I did.
I'll do
That's
it.
What I'm telling you.
I'll tell you, I did it. I did three drafts this weekend, and I did it twice. So, and actually, I did one yesterday too. So that was 3 out of 4 in the last 2 days.
So why the fist pumping? By the way, I know you're Matt Harmon. You're liking the guy, but what do you specifically like about?
Well, full disclosure, my history with Tyrod. Well, my side of it, he doesn't know I exist. But, one of my older sisters went to Virginia Tech, so I watched him a lot there. My dad's a big Tyrod fan, so shout out to both of them. Probably my sister will not listen to this, though. Anyways, so I watched him a lot in college, and he's definitely a guy that I liked for his leadership ability, his gamesmanship. But even if he has not improved as a passer, like you said, and he certainly looks like it in the preseason, and by the way, you could say, yeah, it's the preseason, but look at some of the guys that he was playing with. I mean, there was like Marcus Easley and Deontay Thompson were
right.
playing as the starting receivers. So maybe he has cured himself as a passer. If he hasn't, for fantasy, it doesn't really matter because recent history has shown us that running quarterbacks are like a cheat code in fantasy.
Yeah.
And I mean, guys, even if they can't throw, guys like Tim Tebow, he was a quarterback, won 8 out of his 11 starts in that year in 2011. Tyrod Terrell Pryor, he started 9 times, 5 times was a quarterback, one a top 12 scorer at the position. So it doesn't matter even if they can't throw. These guys that run can give you just easy floor, a safe production level that you can expect in your lineups, and that way, you know, you don't have to spend resources at the quarterback position in daily fantasy or in season long.
Like, I'm all for speculating when you get late in the drafts
yep.
and stuff. But when I'm looking at a second quarterback, because I'm not going to take a third quarterback.
No, you're not.
And right. when I'm looking at a second quarterback, I want it to be a guy that I know, one, on my bye week, I can plug in, you know, whoever my starters, I can plug him in. Or if my starter gets hurt, as I say, if he cannot fulfill his duties as the starting quarterback, then I can plug him in and get hurt. And look, I think Tyrod Taylor may have all the upside in the world, but I'm also the fantasy skeptic. And so I'm not necessarily jumping in this thing with both feet and putting a guy on my roster that I'm not 100% sure I want to roll with in case I have to fill a spot in my starting lineup.
Alex Gilhar.
I love Tyrod. I think he's a great flyer, and he has energized that offense too. Regardless of who's been in there, the offense just looks stale, and like it's like watching it's like the visual form of an Ambien watching that offense with a different quarterback in there.
Yeah.
When Tyrod's in there, it's actually like exciting. So I think if it's a second quarterback, I'd rather have the upside than going with like a Jay Cutler or a Joe Flacco.
The upside, man, to me is very interesting. I don't know. I mean, look, the fact that he sat out for 4 years and tried to figure out quarterback, and the fact that he just doggedly stuck to it. I love the fact that he's an athlete, a great athlete, and he's just said, you know what, man, I'm going to be a quarterback. I know there had to have been pressure both internally, externally, with different organizations. Hey, will this guy play a different position? Because, again, you look at the measurables, man. 4.5 40 with a 38-inch vertical, he's 6'1". If that doesn't make for a pretty solid wide receiver, at least as a project, I don't know what does. I mean, he's got all of the tools from an athletic standpoint to really explode. If, again, if he's worked on his footwork, if he's figured out the position somehow, this is a guy that really could be not just a top 10 guy at his position, but maybe better. And you're picking him up in the double-digit rounds, round 14, 15.
Wait, slow down. Slow down.
Skeptic is
top 10 guy at his position, like this year? Like, what gear are we talking?
This is one of the few times I wish we were a video podcast, because
yes,
people could have seen Marcus throw
his
right there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Hang on. I can't just let that one slide by.
It's,
I mean,
please don't.
Here's the deal, though. If you're playing daily fantasy and you don't throw a couple, maybe even the majority of your lineups out there with Tyrod, because he's going to be all the way at the bottom of that quarterback list, and
sure,
you can throw a ton of other studs in there, you're doing it wrong if you're not putting a lot of Tyrod lineups out there.
It's interesting. I like it. All right, Randall Cobb sprained his AC joint, a.k.a. his shoulder, but he should be okay for week one. That according to Alex Marvez of Fox Sports. So, again, scary injury to his shoulder, but should be okay for week one. What do we make of this news, Alex Gelhar?
Everybody can, you know, breathe a sigh of relief that it's not more serious. He should be fine. If they don't get him in week one, it sounds like they will. He'll be in shortly thereafter, and he will still be the focal point of that passing attack. So
all right, let's move on. Let's talk about preseason. Oh,
I was going to say, you just missed the perfect opportunity to drop in R-E-L-A-X.
You know what? You're right. I should have. We should also hit Kirk Cousins real quick, though. Speaking
okay,
of headlines.
Just Kirk Cousins was named the starter over RG3. I kind of glossed over it because I didn't know if Kirk Cousins.
Because Washington FC.
Washington. I just didn't know if Kirk Cousins was fantasy relevant.
Well, I mean, I think that's kind of what we should talk about, is does it really move the needle for him or any of the other pass catchers there? It doesn't for me, personally. I don't know if it gets anybody else excited.
I mean, it moves the needle in the sense that he is a starting quarterback in the National Football League, and there are only 32 of them, so it's better than being a backup.
As far as Cousins goes, no, it doesn't. I probably won't. I mean, maybe occasionally if I get desperate or something, or I'm feeling particularly frisky that day, but as far as the guys around him go, it's pretty much statistically proven that Morris plays better when RG3 plays, so that's something to watch for. And also, I wouldn't rule out that Morris is the next 2012 draft guy to get replaced too, because they love Matt Jones, and that dude looks good in the preseason, so that's something to watch. Also, I just think he's a better quarterback at this point than Robert Griffin, and that was pretty much
I don't think.
It's not saying much, but it's almost unarguable if you watch Robert Griffin play last year. That dude just didn't know what he was doing either. So I think it gives maybe a slight bump to Pierre Garçon and Jordan Reed, but I think it hurts DeSean Jackson because Cousins is not the type of guy to air it out.
I think the thing with Kirk Cousins in terms of DeSean Jackson, I felt like DeSean Jackson, look, he's a very boom or bust wide receiver, and he's, for me, a great guy to play in the flex because sometimes he'll – you know, maybe give you 3 points, maybe sometimes he'll give you 20. It's a great flex play because sometimes he can actually carry you to a victory on a week-to-week basis. But that being said, I kind of felt like some of his production was based off of the fact that RG3 would scramble around and then he just would chuck it deep and there was DeSean Jackson as the beneficiary of that.
I think that's pretty accurate. So, Jackson gets a slight bump down for me. I mean, it's not drastic, but just a little bit.
Kirk Cousins named the starter over RG3. All right, those are your fantasy headlines. Preseason week 3 fantasy recap. Now, how about some big storylines we got out of week 3 in the preseason? We're going to start with the mighty Raiders. How about this? Trent Richardson, Kimbrel Tompkins, both cut Tuesday. I guess I don't want to say it's a surprise. It's also not a surprise, I guess. Kimbrel was part of that wide receiving core last year, and Trent Richardson, they paid okay money to be there, and yet they're cutting him right before the season starts. So I got to think Trent Richardson's career is done. Am I wrong in saying that?
No.
You would think, although I have already seen an alternate universe. I tweeted this earlier today, where we are 2 years from now seeing Trent Richardson in a camp with rejuvenated stories like in the best shape of his life or
slim down,
slim down, refreshed, all those sort of things. So
boy,
just don't rule it out that nightmare exists.
All right, well, let's just talk about the offense in general, though. It's supposed to be much improved, but, you know, honestly, so far we haven't seen a lot of points being put up. As a matter of fact, how about this? 0 first-team touchdowns Derek Carr, 0 touchdowns and 2 picks. The offense has not been able to, first-team offense has not been able to put it in the end zone. How concerned are we from a fantasy standpoint, Marcus Grant?
A little bit. I spent a lot of time in the offseason watching Derek Carr tape because I do like him. I like his potential, and I really like that they have Amari Cooper there. Look, he's still inconsistent throwing the football. He's not as accurate as you would like him to be.
Right.
Which surprised me because I thought that was one of his strengths coming out of Fresno State. It hasn't necessarily been the case. What I do like is that he has receivers who can actually get open. I had such a major case of the sads watching his tape in the offseason and watching him struggle and just hold the ball, waiting, praying for somebody to get open. So now he's got Cooper there. He's got Crabtree, who's a decent second option there, who can at least get open occasionally. So
yeah,
that's there. So if he can rein in his accuracy, get a little more comfortable there, I think they will get better. I think they're still young. There's still some growing pains there, but I like the upside of this group.
Alex Gelhar.
I'm concerned. I was concerned about them before, and it's preseason, and you know the Giants' offense famously struggled horribly in the preseason last year, and then lit it up down the stretch. But they had Odell Beckham. This, you know, it's not apples to apples here. So I really haven't been taking Murray at his asking price. I've been waiting for him to fall a little bit, as much as I love the upside, and I'm like 50-50 on Cooper, I guess, but. I don't know. I'm a little bit concerned because their guys on an offense that hasn't been great recently are coming at like a fourth round asking price.
Exactly.
It was concerning to me before, and seeing this in the preseason, I haven't done anything to assuage those.
What's the asking price for Cooper right now, Omari?
Like 4 or 5.
Wide
fourth
receiver
round?
19, fourth round.
Fourth round. You know what? I'll buy. Have you guys seen the highlights for Omari? He looks amazing.
I'm with you.
He looks incredible. I'm so high on Amari Cooper. It's not even funny. I mean, I thought I couldn't be higher on Oakland Raider than Latavius Murray. But watching Amari Cooper,
he looks phenomenal.
It's unbelievable how open he is. And it's not like he's facing scrubs. He's going up against, like, multiple-time Pro Bowlers. And he's just torching these dudes. The route running is special. The yards after catch is special. His hands are special. And the fact that Derek Carr is back there just slinging it with no conscience whatsoever, I just absolutely love Amari Cooper this year. I want to get Matt Harmon's take on this.
Yeah, I love Cooper. He's one of the more refined young receivers to come out of college in a while. And not saying he's one of the best prospects to come out in a while, but just as far as, like you said, the route running, his ability to get open really early in the route is It's special at this point. The guy just turned 21 like a month ago or something.
Crazy.
I mean, it's nuts. And he is already like beating NFL corners in the preseason. So he's a guy that I think is going to get a lot of targets too, because I like Crabtree. Crabtree's a reception perception favorite. So I'll take a little stab on him in the late rounds maybe. But I don't like Carr much as a quarterback, but he is scattershot back there. He really wants to get the ball out quickly when he gets under pressure. And those guys are going to get open, on slants and curls and digs and all that. And they're going to present easy targets for him. So Cooper's going to get a ton of look, and I like him a lot, too.
I'm going to overpay on Cooper. I know it. I could feel it already.
Go get your boy.
I wanted to. You know, this is the thing. I looked at him, and there have been plenty of drafts I've had so far where I'm sitting there in the fourth round or so, and he's available. And I just haven't been able to pull the trigger. I don't know why. There's something about it. And as much as I like I said, I like Cooper. I like Derek Carr's potential. But for some reason, something in the back of my head has prevented me from pulling the trigger on it.
I don't know, man. I wish I had Cooper in our NFL Fantasy Live League. I don't know what's going on. Anyways, how about the Eagles offense, though? It was described by Alex Gelhar as, quote, wowza. The team
was whipping up the podcast rundown in a flurry yesterday.
The team is averaging 38 points per game over the first 3 weeks of the preseason. What do we make of the Eagles' offense? And we'll start with Mr. Wowza, Alex Gelhar.
Well, I mean, for those that watched the game, it was like an offensive clinic between their running backs, their wide receivers. Sam Bradford looked phenomenal.
Oh, my gosh.
I got so much heat from my Fantasy Live League on Twitter over the weekend before Bradford played, because people were like, your team's garbage, you don't have a quarterback, and I would love to see what would happen if they tweeted out my team after
right.
Bradford, like, just carved up the pass. I mean, he wasn't forced to push it deep, but he looked great.
10 for 10.
Like, accurate, 10 for 10, 100 yards, 3 touchdowns.
They would still say your team's garbage, you don't have a quarterback. Because right or wrong, I mean, everybody is just worried about the knees.
Yeah.
You know, when you've missed basically the better part of two seasons because of knee injuries, there's just that fear. And I know the argument's going to be, well, everybody can get hurt, it's football. But there is still there's still that fear with guys who continually have been on the shelf. And so for all the good things he's done, everybody looks at that and says, hey, that's great. Are you going to be there in week 12?
Look at MG with a subliminal shot at Adam Rank.
That too.
We miss you, pal. No, you're right, though. I mean, he's got, you know, 0.75 working ACLs. I get it. But, boy, he has looked really good in the preseason.
The rushing attack looked great. It's good.
Yeah, I love the Eagles offense. I mean, there are so many of my guys on this team.
Bradford, Jordan Matthews.
Yeah, Jordan Matthews.
Super high.
Yeah, he's going to run routes out of the slot, and he could definitely catch 100 passes this year.
I agree.
I wouldn't rule it out.
I agree.
Chip is just a really great coach, and he's developed a perfect role for Matthews, and he and Bradford are on the same page. Those, like, ball placement, middle-of-the-field throws that Bradford was honestly making back in St. Louis, but people just didn't realize because he was throwing a Tavon Austin and being coached by Brian Schottenheimer.
It's not a good
combination. So now he's got Chip Kelly. He's got Jordan Matthews.
Right.
These two are going to jive together. And I like Aguilar, too. I like the running game.
Oh, my gosh. I love Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah, it's going to be you want to take those guys in your fantasy draft.
It's going to be wowza.
Yeah,
it's going
to be. Hey, let's go down to Dallas. Terrence Williams has reportedly had an amazing training camp, and those reports were highlighted by an awesome 60-yard catch and run touchdown versus the Vikings in week 3 of the preseason. The dude literally beat out 5 defenders. He showed unbelievable speed, turning a 20-yard catch into a 60-yard score. I will say this. He reminds me greatly of DeAndre Hopkins. Not the fact that, I mean, obviously Hopkins to me was the clear number one because he just had more skill set than Andre Johnson at that point in his career. I mean, obviously he's going to be the clear number two to Dez Bryant. But boy, man, I mean, you look at Terrence Williams, you look at the body type, you look at the hands, you look at the speed. There's a lot of similarities between he and DeAndre Hopkins. He's entering his third year, a year that is traditionally a breakout year for wide receivers. I get it. Rookie wide receivers did super well last year. But if you were looking traditionally over the course of history, NFL history, third-year wideouts really seem to emerge. His measurables, 6'2", 210, ran a 4.5 40. He played at Baylor in that crazy spread offense, and he went crazy his senior year. This is sans RG3, I might add. He led the nation in receiving yards his senior year with 1,832. He's learning the pro game. I am super high on Terrence Williams. I flirted with the idea of turning Terrence Williams into my March to 1,100 guy.
Mm. You're still going to back out on Martavis?
That would have been spicy.
That would have been super spicy. Ultimately, I couldn't do it because I think he's a very high-end second option in Dallas. But the fact of the matter is he's still a second option. It's going to be hard. I'm projecting, you know, 1,700 yards for Dez Bryant. I don't know what else there's left in that passing game for Terrence Williams. But I'll say this. You know, last year he had 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, but like 6 of them came in the first 5
games. I was going to say, they came really bunched together.
That's the thing about Williams is I think he will still be inconsistent like that. And really, if he's going to be your March to 1,100 guy, you're going to want Dallas to throw the ball more than they did last year when they were like one of the most run-heavy teams in the league. So, and that's why I'm just kind of on Terrence Williams this year, just because I don't really know if the offense is going to be conducive for him to have week-in, week-out success.
I think what I like about the fact, and again, this is why I've got Dez Bryant as my number one wide receiver in fantasy this year, over Antonio Bryant, over all those other guys, is the fact that, you mentioned it, Tony Romo had a career low, but almost a career low in 3,700 passing yards last year. That number almost has to go up because with DeMarco Murray gone, I get it, the O-line is tremendous. They still want to run the ball a lot more, but I think the defense is going to take a big step back this year. They're going to have to put more points up. They're not going to be able to control the clock with guys like Joe Randall and Darren McFadden. I just think they're going to have to throw the ball a little bit more. If we see Tony Romo he's assuredly going to get over 4,000 yards this year. But if he can get up to 4,200, 4,300, maybe 4,500 yards, which I think is doable, Terrence Williams is going to be partly a beneficiary.
Maybe. I mean, but you're talking about even having to throw the football more. If you're still trying to control the clock along those ways, along those lines. I look at a guy like Cole Beasley, who last year, by the end of the year, really had kind of taken over for Terrence Williams as the number two receiver.
That's
he's the guy
point.
Who tends to run from the slot, those intermediate, those shorter routes that become kind of extended handoffs, where if you are trying to just keep this clock moving, if you're in that four-minute offense,
right.
Cole Beasley is probably a better option for that than Terrence Williams is going to be.
I guess the point that I'm making is I don't see them running the four-minute offense that often, or less this year than last year. I just think they're going to be behind in some games. There's going to be more shootouts. The defense, I'm telling you, last year, the defense last year was supposed to be historically bad. They played out of their freaking minds last year. They're going to take a step back in terms of the defensive side of the ball this year. It's just going to happen, period. I know the Dallas Cowboy fans are not going to be pleased in hearing that, but it's the truth.
They know. They understand.
So I think there's going to be a few more shootouts, and that's a reason why I like Terrence Williams this year. And again, just the fact that he's a third-year wideout, I just feel like we're ignoring the whole third-year thing now.
It's a decent point. I mean, you're right. It's a guy we've forgot. A lot of us have forgotten about.
I didn't forget about him. I looked at him and I was like, meh, I'll find somebody else that I like better.
It's just the third-year wide receiver thing used to be the trend, but then it was second-year wide receivers and
now it's just
rookie-year wide receivers. But now it's just basically young wide receivers, right. And we're just guessing when they're going to break out. But I do kind of like Williams as a late-round flyer. Why not?
All right, so those are your preseason Week 3 fantasy headlines. All right, another topic we're going to be talking about today. How about fixing a bad roster, or how about a bad draft? If you drafted a guy like Jordy, Julius Thomas, or Kelvin Benjamin, I'll throw it around the horn. How do you help fix that roster? Alex Gelhar?
Hopefully you didn't have to auto-pick your team. I know some people did. If it's a casual league like the one I brought Matt into with some of my friends out here, there were 14 teams. A couple people were out of town and stuff, so there's auto-pick teams. That was where some of those laughable picks were going in the draft because of the auto-draft rankings. So you're going to have to do some fixing. You might have injured guys. You might have guys you don't like. Thankfully, there are a lot of sleepers that we've mentioned on this podcast and other places that have a very low ownership percentage on NFL.com right now and probably the other sites, so you can pick them up. For instance, if you need wide receiver help, Terrence Williams, as you just mentioned, only owned in 15% of the leagues. Stevie Johnson, one of my favorites, and a star of reception perception, only owned in 2.1% of leagues. Jeff Janis and Ty Montgomery are like 2.5% and less for each of them. So these are the kind of guys that you're not going to have many sure things, except maybe Stevie Johnson out of that list, when you go to try and fix these holes in your roster. But take a shot on one of those upside guys or like a Matt Jones or something.
I'm sorry. You said Stevie Johnson is a surefire.
I'm getting on board with Stevie.
Okay. Yeah.
As a wide receiver two or three that's on the waiver wire right now.
I'm getting on board with him.
It's a thing.
It's a thing. Get on board, James.
I'm not on board.
Get on board, man.
Stevie
Johnson is playing, and I've written this actually a couple times in the last week or so. He's playing with the best quarterback he's ever had in his career with Philip Rivers, and he's playing on a team that doesn't really have a bona fide number one wide receiver. I mean, Keenan Allen proved last year that he's not really that guy.
No.
I mean, what?
Super solid number two.
Malcolm Floyd. I mean, who else is really there? Stevie Johnson has as good an opportunity as anybody to lead that team in receptions.
Gates is out for 4 weeks, so they're going to need other targets. It all is lining up for Stevie Johnson to have very solid production.
The Joker is back, baby.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. When I watched him last year with the 49ers and did his reception perception, he was one of the most stunning guys, just how often he was open. And, I mean, we all know that Colin Kaepernick just hits that one read, and if it's not open, nope, just throw it to Bolden anyways.
Or get sacked.
Or do that. Or just run around until he gets sacked. So he's not a guy that runs through the progressions. Johnson was off in the number three read, so he wasn't getting that deep. But this guy still gets off press coverage, still gets open, you know, kind of like Cooper and Crabtree, guy that gets opened early in the routes. So, yeah, I like him too.
Oh, boy. I can't get on board. I just can't do it. Let's do mailbag. First mailbag question.
Let's start on some mail.
Message for you, son.
All right, the first one is from Steelers Fan 99. It's at N Goodling 99. He asks, my friend and I are co-owning a team in a class league, but it's an auction draft. Never done one before. Advice, please. I love this question.
I know. We hadn't talked a ton about auction strategy. That's why I thought it'd be a good one to bring into the show here.
There's a couple different strategies that you can bring into it. You could either go super top heavy and then just go, you know, $1 guys all the way throughout. A strategy I tried and failed miserably with last year. And it was funny, too, because I didn't want to do that. But I actually wanted LeSean McCoy. We're playing a PPR. I actually wanted LeSean McCoy. I think I spent $66 out of my $200 budget to go get him. And then I was watching Adrian. So the next guy up was Adrian Peterson. I'm watching his value get stuck in the high 50s. And I'm like, I cannot let this guy go for high 50. So I start bidding him up thinking, okay, somebody's going to go.
And then you get stuck with
him. And then I got stuck with him at like 62.
Yeah.
That didn't work out too good.
I will say that, you know, being in an auction draft, it is a study in discipline. Because
yes.
You have to have a couple of guys that you really want. You know, and you wait for those guys to come up, and then you bid on them. Because otherwise, what you turn into is you're that little kid, and your parents have given you $20 and let you loose, like, you know, in a candy store. And you're like, oh, my God. You know, you, like, blow it on something, and then you, like, see the nerds later on. You're like, I could have had nerds. You know, so just it is really about discipline and making sure that you target the guys you want. Don't get distracted by shiny objects that are going to blow your budget. And
right.
You wait for the value guys that come up later.
Well, one of the best things to do in auctions at the beginning, too, is throw out guys that you don't want.
That's my favorite thing to do. This is your first auction league. You might see, like you said, Aaron Rodgers get nominated. Then you might see Stevie Johnson get nominated and Matt Forte or whatever. So it's all up in the air, and you just have to react to the players you want and bid accordingly.
There's, I mean, in the fun part about the auction is that there's way to screw over the other other owners. Matt, you mentioned one. Throw out a guy early that you want no piece of. And guys like Aaron Rodgers, Andrew Luck are great examples of that, because early on in an auction draft, because what Marcus said, you're a kid in a candy store, people are willing to pay more than they should, willing more than they probably even want to bid on a guy that they want. And it's funny, man. It's funny when you see that. Another, you mentioned it, Alex, throwing out a guy like Stevie Johnson. Because let's say you're me. You're not high on Chris Ivory, all right? I'm just going to throw Chris Ivory out there. And people, if you nominate Chris Ivory super, super late, he might go for $4 or $5. But if you nominate him early, he might go for 10 or 12.
Yeah, you got to know when to nominate the guy, that's for sure. Sometimes, though, if you throw out one of those under-the-radar names early, people will be like, ew, I'm not spending my money now when all these other guys are available. So
true.
You might get him cheap there.
It's a risk, though.
The general thought that I always stick with auction drafts, and I do a lot. I'll do a lot of them. I did a studs and dud one recently too, and it turned out pretty funny. But I won't talk about that. Nobody cares. Really, it's always about trying to find the you of the run in an auction. So like, you don't want to be one of the first ones to, you know, get in on the run of running backs, because that's when people are paying for them. And then you don't want to be at the end of the run, because that's when people are, oh crap, all the good running backs are gone. I got to get them. You got to want to be like right in that. In the top there, in the middle portion.
The midpoint of the parabola there.
So, yes, again, the two strategies, and really we could just break it down to two strategies. Either you go super heavy and then just pay, you know, there's maybe two running backs you really like, or a running back and wide receiver you really like. Let's say you just happen to absolutely love Eddie Lacy and Dez Bryant this year. You just go crazy bidding on those guys. And then the rest of your lineup is literally just $1, $2 guys, including quarterback, including all these other wide receivers, and whatever it might be. The other strategy is, let me just load up on a bunch of medium, mid-tier guys. I don't want to call them mid-card jobbers because Adam Rank's not here. That's okay. But, you know, just guys like DeAndre Hopkins, you know, who are good players, but you don't have to necessarily break the bank to get those guys.
Yeah.
Those are your two different strategies, essentially, in an auction draft. For me, I have found that the latter strategy just happens to work out a heck of a lot better. You're really hedging your bets that your stars don't necessarily get injured, that they don't perform, whatever it might be, and you've got a solid stable of guys.
Because like you said, if you drop $66 on LeSean McCoy and has a lackluster year, then you're stuck and you don't have depth. But if you spent that $66 and broke it up like 22 on Mark Ingram, 20 on Jonathan Stewart, 18 on Frank Gore, then –
yeah.
You know, I mean, they would all probably go for more than that, but hypothetically, then you're in a better standing.
If you do studs and duds, you're either going to be first or you're going to be next to last or something.
Yeah.
And so that's fine, because sometimes I like to play fantasy that way. I'm not trying to come in third. I don't care about that.
It's supposed to be fun. Get the guys you want.
All right, we move on to the next. I think we've hit that auction style enough.
Yeah.
Let's get to our next mailbag question.
Mail, baby! Whoa!
I love this Twitter handle. How about this? Johnny Utah.
Yeah, I had to put that one in.
Johnny Utah, 100. Ask us, picking 10th in a new 10-team league, any value at RBs, or should I go Luck or Gronk? Help.
I will tell you this. I was in, and Harmon was in this draft with me last night. It was a 12-team league, and I had the 11th pick. And at that point, I decided, you know what? I'm 11 in a 12-team league. I'm going zero RBs right
now.
Atta
baby.
I'm going to go, and I'm going to get – so my first two picks.
Was Jeremy Hill there?
Jeremy Hill was not there.
Okay.
So my first two picks ended up being Calvin Johnson and Julio Jones.
Ooh.
You know, and so then I came back. I think I ended up getting Frank Gore sometime in the fourth round. So I guess it wasn't a true zero RB strategy.
No, I think that counts.
But it was pretty heavy on that because it's like, well, the guys that I saw hanging around at the end of that first round, the running backs, weren't ones that I was willing to reach for. You know, and you know, I've been a big go get your guy
sure.
sort of person, but those guys weren't ones I was willing to reach for.
CJ Anderson?
He was gone.
I mean, really?
Yeah, this was a league with some of our NFL.com, you know, colleagues, so
wow.
they are up on a lot of these names. So I went zero RB, and I really feel like that's not a bad way to go if you know what you're doing and you have some kind of mid-round guys you're targeting.
Before Jordy Nelson was injured, I thought there was a top eight of first-tier wide receivers, and those guys are – a lot of them are still there. Like Marcus said, you can get them around the turn. And this guy, Johnny Utah, brings up Gronk. I love taking Gronk in the late first. I was in
I've
that draft,
it.
Marcus.
I've done it.
Yeah, I was in that draft Marcus was mentioning last night. I took Gronk fourth overall, probably because, if you can't tell, I do a lot of drafts.
Oh, you're the one.
I do a lot of drafts, and, you know, I was just like, whatever. I want to do something different. I want to try something new. And yeah, I think Gronk in the first is a totally viable strategy. You can come back around and get one of the running backs that falls, maybe a DeMarco Murray or something, or if you can still take one of those top receivers. So yeah, there's a lot of options. I love picking around the 10 turn this year.
All I have to say is
these sure aren't deflating. These are only inflating. So get ready, because I'm going to be ready.
Gronk.
I mean, in our NFL Fantasy Live analyst league, so stop using the term experts. I took Gronk and Julio at the 10 turn, so
okay.
I'm totally for that strategy because a lot of those guys have, like Matt mentioned, that tier of eight before Jordy went down, just have a safer floor. I feel a lot more comfortable getting one of those guys than having a little more risk with one of the running backs.
I know a lot of people have been asking me about Gronk, taking Gronk late first, early second. I mean, early second, you almost priced into it, to use a poker term, but I'm hesitant on Gronk. And because it's almost like we're ignoring the fact that he has a long and extensive list of injuries that have forced him to miss quite a bit of time.
Oh, he was healthy last year.
I get that he was healthy last year.
He's healthy right now.
And he's healthy right now.
And, I mean, did you not hear him?
These sure aren't deflating. These are only inflating. So get ready, because I'm going to be ready.
He's ready, James.
And my point for Gronk is that, and it's the point that I make for any first-round pick, you can't win your league in the first round, and you've heard this adage a million times, but you can lose your league in the very first round. And mostly, it's not sexy to say it, but man, you know the teams that end up finishing first, second, third are almost universally the most healthy. I mean, if you're playing a snake, auction, different story. But if you're playing in a snake, because of the draft format, I hate to say it because we try to be masters and artists drafting, but really, honestly, what it comes down to is those first, second, third place teams just generally are just more healthy than everybody else. And that's why I'm hesitant to advocate a guy like Gronkowski in the very first round. I know that's not very popular in this room because the other three gentlemen here have really advocated for him, but there you go. All right, should we move on? Daily Daps?
Yeah, we can dap it.
All right, let's do Daily Daps.
Extra, extra, read all about it.
This is the Daily Daps and Hugs. Give me daps because I be scribbling right.
Give me dapping up daps about daps.
And we welcome in Matt Harmon, of course, for his very first edition of Daily Daps. We just give out props to whatever we're thinking about. We're going to start with the whiz kid from Wisconsin, Alex Gellhart. Get us kicked off.
Man, I really hadn't decided on this yet, so I was hoping you were going to be like, we'll start with
Harmon. We're going to start with MG Marcus Grant. Kick us off.
There we go.
All right, well, first off, I guess because I'm sitting in the seat Adam Rank normally occupies,
yes.
I got a couple. This one's real quick, though, because a couple weeks on this show, I gave my Daily Dap to Kermit the Frog.
Sure.
Because he was back on the market again. Yep. I don't know if you've seen. Kermit's got a new girl.
Yeah, okay.
And Kermit seems to have a type. His new girlfriend, Denise, bears a striking resemblance. Like, let's just say if his old flame kind of merged with an Instagram model.
Okay.
She'd look a lot like his new flame. So, but
this is kind of, you're saying he's like Reggie Bush.
Apparently, yeah. He's like Reggie Bush. He's got a type. Reggie Bush, Robin Thicke. Robin Thicke apparently has a type as
apparently.
Well.
Apparently.
So, yeah. So Kermit is with Denise now. So props to Kermit. He found love. Good for him. My other daily dap, my real daily dap, though, last week I gave a shout out to Samurai Cop because we had a High Life Friday get together and we watched Samurai Cop.
Do you like it?
It was fantastic.
Oh, so awesome.
So awesome. And so that made us so super excited because we found the news, or Alex Gelhart, I guess, found the news that.
I did some investigative journalism.
Samurai Cop 2.
What?
Is coming to theaters October 9th. We saw the trailer for it.
It's coming to a theater. It's okay. Coming to the Lemley in
Hollywood.
Yeah,
it's not going to be in like wide release or anything. But
there's a trailer for
there's
it.
There's a trailer on the YouTubes.
We should tweet it out because it's glorious.
We should absolutely tweet it out. It was fantastic. I really thought I wasn't going to be able to do work for the rest of the day. I was going to just get up and walk out because the trailer for Samurai Cop 2 is that fantastic.
I am digging it.
And so, by the way, I mean, so it's got some of the characters from the original, some of the actors from the first one.
Okay.
On top of that, there's a cameo from Tommy Wiseau. And if you are a fan of awful, awful movies, you know Tommy Wiseau as the writer, director, producer, and star of the classic cult film The Room.
This is so disappointing. We had technical issues and couldn't get new drops synced up because I had
You're tearing me apart, Lisa.
I had it all ready to drop in somewhere in case you dap that, and it just didn't happen.
And we dropped the ball.
But, yeah, Samurai Cop 2. Find it when it comes to a VOD streaming service near you.
Yeah, because it's not going to come to a theater near Wichita, Kansas. Or anything.
Matt Harmon, writer and garbage content producer for NFL.com. Do you have some daily daps?
I'm so excited that that's a thing and that's my title.
It's going to stick.
Yeah, my daily dap is actually this. I moved out to L.A. about a month ago, a little over a month ago now. So I'm kind of new, getting the run of the place. This weekend, Alex took me out with one of his friends, and I got to have a night of firsts where I not only waited in line for the first time at a bar, which is a ridiculous concept and you should never do.
Well,
but
I'm confused.
Let us wait. Let him finish the story.
But I got to skip the line.
Oh!
Because Alex's friend knew the doorman. So,
how L.A.?
So it was LA very
moment.
L.A.
Such an L.A. moment.
It was great because I was like morally offended that I'm like, why would I wait in line for a bar?
Which is what I told him. I was like, I don't wait in line, so if my friend wants to go into these bars, I'm like, you better be able to get us in because I can't stand it. Like, nothing infuriates me more than waiting in line for overpriced alcohol and some sort of ambiance. So I'm
you don't like
elsewhere.
You don't like the $10 draft?
No, man. I love a good dive bar.
Yeah.
So you're not into the $17 mojitos in L.A.?
No, I like L.A. a lot so far, but that part of it, no, that's not going to happen.
I'm like so confused because I'm an L.A. kid. I'm a California kid. I spent a lot of my years in L.A. and in the Bay Area. I don't know a world without waiting in line for a good bar.
No, there are too many establishments to get the drinks in this town where I want to wait in line.
It's a magical land, James. It's a magical land where you just walk in and then you get a drink.
Hey,
it's...
speaking of, by the way, Matt Harmon, you're saying you moved here about a month ago. I swear, I thought you like lived in Los Feliz. I mean, this dude rolls through. I mean, he is just fantasy hipster to the nines, baby. I mean, he's got a little mustache working with the curlicues on the end. He's got his freshly dapped up hair. Comes in rolling wearing a yellow shirt like he owns the joint.
Are you ignoring the Amish beard?
And
it's not just a mustache with curlicues.
Well, you know, listen.
I mean, he looks like he belongs. I thought he just walked off of Los Feliz and walked into Culver.
You get some hipster points for calling it Los Feliz as opposed to Las Feliz, like everybody here in Los Angeles
Of course.
Does.
Listen, man, you got to walk into a new build, a big building, the NFL. You got to walk in like you own the place, and I do.
I mean, fantasy hips.
You don't get to produce garbage content.
Yeah,
you don't walk in like
you can't produce the garbage that I do for the NFL if you don't also at least look good.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, really, he just looks like. I mean, he's ready to do the hipster thing. You know who else is a fantasy franchise behind the glass? What's up, man? We got Matt Franciszkiewicz behind the glass as well, doing some.
We don't have another headset, unfortunately.
Yes,
right now.
But the franchise also fantasy hipster as well. It's really incredible. But I'm going to go Daily Daps. I'll go around the horn a little bit. How about Waka Flocka? He's got his Rico remix and also another song on SoundCloud called Workin'. Waka Flocka is about to drop, what's he call it? Waccavelli 2 or something? Flaccavelli 2.
Is it going to be, dare I say, flames?
It's.
Oh my God.
It will be hot. Speaking of part 2 albums, Game announced that he's going to be dropping Documentary 2 sometime this month, literally 10 years after he dropped Doc 1. So I'm super excited about that. I can't believe nobody here has said this yet. Star Wars, the second trailer, just got dropped, I believe, last week. And we saw that. We saw a blue lightsaber?
It wasn't a full trailer.
Yeah.
It was an Instagram
12
video.
Seconds or whatever.
It was enough.
I mean, it got us
it's
all.
It's on YouTube now, guys. I don't know. I just saw it. You guys haven't seen it yet.
This is the only blue lightsaber.
Yes,
John
absolutely.
Boyega.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Is there like a full? How long was the trailer you watched?
Bro.
It was longer than 15 seconds, presumably.
Bro, I don't know. Well, I feel like Kanye, but bro, come on.
We're not doing any work for the rest of the day.
I will say this. How about dailydapsyoutube.com/NFL?
We yeah, haven't, there you go.
Yeah.
Company
we man.
Haven't dapped this yet.
Subscribe today.
YouTube.com/NFL. If you haven't seen it, we've got a new partnership the NFL does with YouTube. And man, it's got preseason highlights and a lot of your podcasts moved into video form, moved the sticks. ATN is on there. Damashek is on there. And we've got a dedicated fantasy football playlist as well. You got to just search around. I mean, you want to get into that YouTube dark hole, YouTube.com/NFL. If you haven't seen it, I guarantee you, you will be wasting the next 45 minutes of your life.
A lot of good stuff there.
It's so good. It's so good. Gerhard, right. Did we get you yet?
No, I've come back around. I thought I was bouncing my mind around a couple things and decided I'm just going to give a dap to September. Today's September 1st.
Okay.
Because September brings back football.
Hello.
First of all.
What's
real
that?
NFL action. And football, like fall TV comes back. We start getting good movies. I also like coming from the Midwest. Fall was the best weather. Summer was way too hot and gross.
Right.
Winter is way too cold. Fall was where it was like those like 2 months where we had good serviceable weather. So fall always has a soft spot in my heart. And September's a kickoff of it too.
Dude, not just NFL, but how about college football?
I'm excited.
Oh my God.
I have to work on Saturdays since I am the new guy. I will be just most, I mean, other than like actually
working.
Right. I will be just using all of these televisions here in the newsroom to consume college football.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited about that. The Cal Bears, I don't know why, but for some reason, people think the Cal Bears might win 9 games this year. I don't see it.
Really?
They got a quarterback, right?
That's Jared Goff is legit. I there's no question about it, but I don't see them winning 9 games. Sorry, Bear fans. I just don't see it. I've looked at the schedule. If they win 7 games, I'll be shocked. I put them at about 6.5 games. I'll give them 7 just because I love them. But 9 is
just
out of control.
I love them.
Come on, guys. All right, so there you go. That's your show, man.
That's it.
Hit that button. Let's get out of here. For the new guy, Matt Harmon, MG Marcus Grant, Alex Delhar, the Whiz Kid from Wisconsin, I'm James Coe. You've been listening to the NFL Fantasy Live podcast. We'll see you.